Well, good morning and welcome to a new week. It is Monday, the 10th day of June, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Beginning today, a new week, before the Lord, in consecration. Have you ever tried this prayer on your knees? I'm hearing some of you. I hear your knees. I hear them creaking. So it may not be advisable, but maybe for others, you can do it. You know, if you can't, you can get on your knees in your heart. But there's something about posture that takes prayer to the next place. So maybe just take a different posture. Maybe stand. Maybe extend your arms outward, your hands open. You ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled On the Gospel of Necessary Endings. Our text, chapter 18 of Acts this week. Today we will cover the first six verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Life is hard, and the ministry of the gospel is even harder, which is why learning to work in the strength of the Holy Spirit is of paramount importance. Apart from the strength of the Spirit, we will fail. In the strength of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. However, sometimes, maybe even often, we meet up with failure even in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let's take care to keep reminding ourselves this is why we are working our way through the Acts of the Apostles. We need to see a live demonstration of what working in the strength of the Spirit looks like. Acts and the early church often get idyllically summed up as an exploding movement with everybody having progressive dinners with everybody else, along with neighborhood devotions, singing, and s'mores around the campfire every night. You know, the good old days. If we could just get back to that, everything would somehow magically be fine. By now, we see this is not the case. Acts is filled with hardship, struggle, failure, internal conflict, external opposition, violence, suffering, injustice, and yes, miracles, mass conversions, growth, excitement, visions, dreams, joy, love, and peace. It's tempting to think of the apostles like we think of a championship Major League Baseball team, where nobody carries their own luggage, stadiums are always packed, and it's all high fives and autographs. In reality, it's far more like single-A baseball, with long bus rides, cheap motels, empty ballparks, and a rarefied call-up to the next level. Paul faces a tough decision in today's text. Do I quit or press through? He'd been preaching his heart out week after week to the Jews about Jesus. Not only were they non-responsive to the gospel, they turned abusive toward Paul. Paul finds himself way beyond a, if at first you don't succeed, try again moment. Paul did something we typically look on with great shame and even disdain. At the same time, it may have been one of his more strategic decisions. Paul quit. He gave up on the Jews. Sure, he would preach in synagogues again and some Jews would be converted, but Paul crossed the Rubicon that day in Corinth. He would go after the Gentiles now with an undivided heart. Quitters never win. Sometimes quitting is the only way to win. Sometimes quitting is not giving up. It's changing directions. The operative words, necessary endings. If we listen carefully, we can hear one of my favorite songs queuing up. On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere. Sing along if you know it. You gotta know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. I could get carried away, guys. I'll stop there. Remind me sometime to tell you my story about that song. The prayer. Today's prayer I'm bringing to us from Thomas Merton. A lot we could say about him. He was a monk back in the 1950s and 60s at the Abbey of Gethsemane, one of my favorite places on the planet in Trappist, Kentucky. He wrote a little book called Thoughts in Solitude, which I would commend to you. But in that book is this prayer. It's kind of become famous. He's become famous for many reasons. This prayer is one of his markers. Think you'll identify with it. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death? I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts. Is it time for you to quit something you haven't been able to give up on? Does it feel shameful to consider it? Why? For our hymn today, we're going to sing another one of the big ones. This is number 3 in our hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This hymn is entitled Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Comes from the year 1680. Number 3. We're going to sing all 4 verses. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He befriend thee. Let's go up a notch. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for aye we adore Him. That's another one. Let's sing it. Amen. I get carried away in these hymns. I'm hearing some of you guys out there too. I mean, you're slightly off key. Who am I to talk, right? But we're going for it. We're singing the hymns, guys. This is the stuff. This is why we came. Man, 1680. We've been singing that song for 17, 18, 19, 20. We're going on 500 years of singing that song. Man, that's better than the Texas A&M fight song. Sorry, Aggies. Gosh, and it's just Monday. It's Monday. It's going to be a big week on the wake-up call. How about the quitting, right? You've heard the old saying, winners never quit and quitters never win. Well, until they do. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? Winners never quit and quitters never win. I remember Maxie Dunham, my mentor, real father in the Lord to me. One time, he's got this saying. He's got a lot of sayings, but one that I remember a lot is this one. He said, most people prefer the hell of a predictable situation rather than risk the joy of an unpredictable one. I can hear him. Maxie's listening out there, I know. He and Jerry, every morning, they say they listen to us on the wake-up call. But I know Maxie was saying that. I hear it. When I hear it, I hear that in his voice, and I could almost hear him saying it with me. Let's say it again. And that's his signature word. Let me say that again. Most people prefer the hell of a predictable situation rather than risk the joy of an unpredictable one. So I think you're hearing me right here today. I'm not saying if things get hard, you should quit. By all means, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes, and the Lord will lead, sometimes quitting is exactly what we need to do. I guess it's Cloud, Henry Cloud. I think he's written the book recently called Necessary Endings. You know, I've not read the book. I did recently get it on my audiobooks. I'm going to listen to it. I've watched him give a talk on it. I think I'll link that in today's email, his message. But necessary endings, they're real. And we need to be open to how the Lord will lead. Sometimes, you know, we just can blindly persist in the hell of a predictable situation. And the Lord just could be saying, I've got something better for you. I've got something else for you. Don't blindly persist in this path. Make sure to listen to me. Because the Lord is always, I believe, up for the joy of an unpredictable way forward. May not feel as secure, but that could mean nothing. I don't know. Paul, like I said, you know, he didn't just kick the dust off his feet once and for all, but he went in a different direction at this point in the story. And, you know, what I also thought was interesting was the text tells us that the Jews became abusive. He shook out his clothes in protest. So the Jews became abusive, and that's something that I think I could say with some confidence here. If you're in an abusive situation, get out. Don't walk away. Run. An abusive work situation, an abusive relationship, an abusive marriage. You know, you talk about the hell of a predictable situation. Get out. Get help. I think we can be on solid ground in saying that. Well, I think we also need to head toward the field today. It's Monday. That's a challenging word for Monday. And we need to go out. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're ready to become places of demonstration of God's kingdom. So get your seeds. I'll get mine. Let's go and sow the seeds of love in the fields of awakening today. I'll see you out there for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.